Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
The first thing is, all of this is alleged. Nothing has been substantiated. This person has not come out publicly.
Rebecca Schumann is deep in academia, an adjunct professor at the University of St. Louis, contributing writer to the Chronicle of Higher Ed, and an education columnist for Slate. Here she is talking about a teaching job negotiation gone awry.
So this is a story that appeared on the very widely read philosophy blog called The Philosophy Smoker. And what happened was, an individual had received an offer from a small liberal arts college in upstate New York to join the philosophy department, and she was very excited about it. And so she wrote back with a counteroffer that, you know, it was asking big. She asked big. She wanted a lower teaching load than an institution like that could ever give her. She wanted more money. She wanted the maternity leave policy of the department to be in writing instead of quote unquote informal. She wanted a sabbatical. You know, she thought it was the opening move in a series of negotiations. But what happened instead was that she got a one paragraph email back saying, we've looked at what you want. We've decided it's not appropriate for a school like this, which is more teaching centered. You sound like you want to work at a university that is a research university. We're going to pull the offer. We wish you the best of luck. And this just blindsided her. She was not, because she thought an offer is an offer and the worst they can do is say no. But instead, the worst they could do was just pull that offer altogether. And the reaction within academia, instead of supporting this person who thought that she had an offer and then had it pulled, was to say, how dare she try to ask for those things? The school was right to do it. And so what struck me as amazing wasn't just the fact that the school did have a lot of other people to choose from and basically just dropped her like a hot potato. It was that the rest of academia was completely on board with this buyer's market mentality and is completely okay with offers not being final and the idea of negotiation being, how do I put it, negotiation being another part of the job interview. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, she could have asked for a golf jet and a pony. And the worst that they should have said was, nope, that's a deal breaker. And you seem to be asking a little high. Let's talk on the phone.
That's what Word of Mouth is talking about today. Jobs. Let's start with the most difficult part of any gig, landing it. Rebecca's secondhand story got so much response and traction online because for many people, it became a kind of allegory for the post-recession job market. You've probably heard some variation of it. You're lucky to have a job. Stop complaining. Career consultant Maggie Mistel has another take on the climate for getting and negotiating a job. Maggie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Virginia. Happy to be here.
So what's your thought after hearing that story?
You know, I don't think taking sides is the answer. And unfortunately, I think that's the direction that the story went in. I think it's a good opportunity to have a conversation about what kinds of conversations can we have when we have a job offer on the table, and how to conduct those conversations. Because the number one red flag, as I listened to that, Virginia, is that she did this via email. Email has no tone to it. And I don't know about you, but in the times in my career when I've been misunderstood or taken the wrong way, it's been when I've sent an email, not when I've had a conversation. Even over the phone, you can be more clear.
Even if that conversation had happened in person, is it common for a job offer to be rescinded?
It can happen. I've heard of it happening. It's not that strange for an employer to say, oh, we thought we were going to get something else. I don't think there's anything that dramatic about the offer being rescinded. I just think this person thought there would be more conversation. And again, I just think she was taken the wrong way.
How about the state of negotiation in general right now, Maggie? Career Builder conducted a study recently and found that only 40% of job candidates even try to negotiate job offers. What is it that holds people back?
Well, I'd say that's the worst outcome from this story, because I can see a lot of people saying, oh, I better not negotiate. Mm. That's a bad thing.
Right. I think people do have a sense that right now you're lucky to have a job. You're lucky to have an offer. Is this something that happens in a post-recession economy?
I think it's what happens when people are scared and when they buy into a philosophy that says, I'm not that valuable. And the mindset issue that I'm often coaching my clients through is this one that says, well, what is your unique value? Because everyone does have what I have found, Virginia. Each one of us is uniquely built in such a way to have certain preferences, certain talents. We have certain experiences that other people don't possess. But what we often do is take that for granted. Something comes so easily for us, we think it must come easily for everyone. And that's not the case. And when you look at the job satisfaction results, which is what I look to, which says, are you happy in your job? People are bored. People are unhappy. I mean, we have lower and lower job satisfaction numbers every year. So to me, this salary negotiation is like the tip of an iceberg that says, here's a symptom of a larger problem where people and organizations are not looking at where the fit is. We're too worried about finding the person with the exact resume rather than giving somebody a chance who's maybe a career changer who does have, though, a natural talent in a new field that maybe they hadn't made their career, but they've come to realize is what they're here to do.
And will those people who do advocate for themselves in the beginning, in that initial conversation and negotiation, are they perceived as stronger and are they more likely to make more money over the rest of their career?
Absolutely. I mean, in general, when you're the kind of person who has thought through and soul-searched to figure out, here's what I'm here to do, here's what I know I'm best at, and here, employer, is why I'm sitting in this chair talking to you at this stage in my career for this job, right? So when people get that kind of clarity, employers are like, yeah, what do you need to work here? Because employers don't have the time and energy to train someone into a job and get them excited about it. They'd love to. They think that's nice, but they don't feel they have the luxury of time to do that. They need people who can jump in and hit the ground running. And when you're that kind of person that says, here's why this is the job that I'm the best fit for, and specific about the things that they do well that that company needs them to do, yeah, the negotiations are much easier. Because companies are like, great, you're doing the work for us. You're almost recruiting for us because you're coming to us proactively as a target company. It's what more employees and more job seekers need to do.
Maggie, how about if you are somebody who doesn't have a Maggie Mistel career consultant with them, any advice on getting people started on this road to figure out where their passion, purpose, their sense of empowerment begins?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say a lot of the job seekers we're talking about are experienced job seekers. They're the ones who, folks over 50. The great news, I love working with people over 50, is that they have so much work experience in that they know what they're great at, and they've had moments. Even if they haven't had careers that they've loved, they've had moments that they've loved. And these times of ecstatic engagement, when they found a project to be purposeful and fun, and it came easily to them, and it was a big success, those are the moments to latch onto, right? So look back over your career and look to replicate more of those. Look to expand on more of those. And so that may be going back to the nonprofit that you helped and pitching to do more of that project because it shined and it worked. You want to expand on those moments when things worked, because I know for every single person listening, whether they're employed or not employed, there were moments that were better than others in their careers. And you want to expand on those better moments because that's what leads to opportunity, no matter what the economy is doing.
Maggie Mistel, thank you for the positive spin.
It's not just a spin, Virginia. It's the truth. You just got to believe it.
Maggie Mistel, career consultant and executive coach. You can find a link to her negotiating tips at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Many people dream of working from home. No boss, you get to make your own schedule, you can work in your pajamas. When Word of Mouth continues, the not-so-dreamy realities of freelance life. We'll talk to a writer for hire about the hustle of juggling jobs. Stay with us for that story when Word of Mouth continues.